We live in a time of untrust. Now, I know the correct word is mistrust, but it doesn't seem strong enough. I think untrust is a better word. It seems like nobody trusts anyone anymore. And that's just the world we live in. Everyone, everything is suspect. Parents can't be trusted to provide for their children when they're young. Children can't be trusted to care for their parents when they're old or sick. We can't trust anyone who looks or acts or thinks differently than ourselves. The poor can't trust the rich. The rich can't trust the poor. And let's not talk about Democrats or Republicans. And if you're of the liberal bent, you know you can't trust conservatives. And if you're of the conservative bent, you know you can't trust liberals. That's just the way it is. That's our world. We can't trust our education system or healthcare or companies that make drugs or prepare and package our food. No one can be trusted. The truth is that anymore, it's hard to trust anyone or anything these days. Certainly, we can't trust anyone who has any power or authority over us. Remember the big hippie slogan of the 60s? Question authority, right? You remember that slogan? That was the 60s version of saying that anyone who has power or authority over us or control over us cannot be trusted. And anyone that does have control over us is probably up to no good. It's better to keep as much power and control over our lives as we can, right? It's better to keep as much freedom to do as we please than to surrender it up little by little to the government or the school system or laws and regulations. The more control we can keep on our lives, the better, right? The less freedom we sacrifice, the better off we are. Now, kids, that's one of the great things. There's not a lot of things I hate to inform you about growing up that's good, but one of them is that you have control over your life. There are no parents or teachers to obey. We can get up and go to bed when we please. We can eat a whole bag of Cheetos and a quart of ice cream for dinner. Anyway, if we want, we can watch TV all day long and rot our brains out. If we want. Now, obviously, we adults have responsibilities and limits. We have to go to work. We need to pay our bills and cut our grass and take out the garbage, whether we like it or not. And if we eat whatever we feel like, we know we're going to pay for it in the long run. But truth be known, we still, as adults, have a whole lot of freedom in our life, don't we? One of the biggest fears about growing old is that we'll begin to lose our freedom that we've earned as adults and that we've come to take for granted. As we get older and we're confronted with health problems or money problems that may make us dependent on others, that's a big fear. I mean, who can we really trust to look after our best interests? There aren't a whole lot of people in the big old world out there who we can trust, is there? In John's gospel, Jesus reminds Peter, "Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." What if we have trouble in our lives? What if our lives don't turn out as we've planned? What if we're having trouble with our kids or spouse or coworkers? What if we've made a big, fat, stinking mess of our life and we don't know how to fix it? What if we really just need to start over? What if we need a sympathetic ear to listen to? Where do we turn? Who do we trust with the gory details of our lives? Who do we trust that much, that deeply, that completely? You know, it's nice to kid ourselves about the control that we think we have in our lives. And it's nice to think that we don't need to trust in anything or anyone because we're on top of things. But Jeremiah's trip to the potter's house has a way of bringing us back down to size. His words or God's words through Jeremiah have a way of planting our feet back on the earth, nice and solid and firm. Because no matter how much freedom and control we think and we have in our lives, and no matter how much we think that we're on top of things, and no matter how deeply we have to be taught by this world to trust in nothing and no one but ourselves, Jeremiah's little visit to the potter's house reminds us of who's really in control. No matter how much we think we're in control, the truth is that we are nothing more than clay. Nothing more than a lump of cold, rubbery clay. Nothing more than something that is in the process of being molded and worked and reworked into something of beauty. Our lives are being molded and shaped and stretched and formed by hands that are not our own, but they're tender hands and they're careful hands and they're skillful hands. Hands that are so tenderly working us in the hopes of making us the best and the most beautiful that we can be. And every artist knows that whatever medium that they work in, it seems to have a life of its own, does it not? Even if you just knit or crochet, doesn't that yarn kind of seem to have a life of its own and kind of govern what you can and can't do with it? Whatever medium, it has a life of its own. It, as an artist creates, they're careful to respect that. A truly fine artist respects and works with and not against the plans that the material has in its own mind, if you want to look at it as an animate object. How many little crafts and projects and plans have you made that took a different turn once you started the work? Isn't it like the material itself takes a part in what it becomes? And so it is with us. We are not some lifeless lump of clay in the hands of the potter. We have a mind of our own. We have a life of our own. And who we are affects what God will make of us. Are we gritty or smooth? Speckled with lots of little impurities or deeply and profoundly flawed? Are we moist and pliable? Or are we all dried up and crusty and barely able to be shaped at all? What we give God to work with of our lives and how we give it affects what God can and will do with us. The truth is, we are each one of us unique in what we are and what we're capable and able to let God make of us. And we're all flawed. The real question isn't what we are. The real question is, are we willing to trust God with what we are? Flaws and dry spots and holes and speckles and gouges and thin areas. Are we willing to give up that control of our lives that we hold on to and that we guard with such effort so that God can work us into something beautiful? Are we willing to toss our suspicion and distrust to the wind and place the clay of our lives into the loving and tender hands of the master potter? It's pretty scary doing that. It's pretty frightening to reveal our true selves to God. And it's a mighty big act of trust and faith to place control of our lives into the hands of God so that we can be worked and molded and stretched and kneaded into a thing of beauty. And sometimes the work of the potter's hands in our lives is painful. Sometimes it'll ache and we'll cry as God does his work on the clay of our lives. But if we can learn to trust, we will become beautiful works of art, each one of us. If we can only learn to forget about what this world teaches us about trust and untrust, if we can remember what our God teaches us about trust and faith, about sparing nothing to save us, not even his son. And you know, if you've ever watched a potter work on a wheel, anyone ever watch that? You'll notice that what they spend the most time and effort in doing is the very first step. It's not shaping the pot. It's centering the lump of clay on the wheel. Because if the clay isn't centered, what happens? It starts to spin and get kind of out of control, and it becomes lopsided, and eventually it will collapse if it is not centered. But if the clay is perfectly centered on that wheel and perfectly symmetrical, then the potter can turn it into something of beauty. And it's the same with us. The first thing we need to do is to center ourselves, to center ourselves in the will of God. And if we're open to God's will and God's purpose for our life, if we can center ourselves by having the faith and trust that God can and will work us into an object of beauty, then God's will can and will be done. Now, there's one poem that I always seem to turn to, oftentimes for weddings, even though it's not a love poem, although it may sound it in parts. It's a work by Robert Browning. Anyone love classic English poets? All right, maybe I'm one of the only few. I don't know, but okay, I've got a sister who go along with the classic British poets. Robert Browning, it's called Rabbi Ben Ezra. One verse I use oftentimes, and you will know this verse immediately. Grow old along with me. Anyone hear that before? For the best is yet to be, the last of life for which the first was made. Our times are in his hand, who saith, a whole I planned. Youth shows but half. Trust God, see all, nor be afraid. But that's only one stanza of the entire poem. It's a conversation between God and this rabbi, and it's about the relationship he has, and by analogy, we have with God. Further on, the words go like this, so listen. But I need now as then thee, God, who moldest men. And since, not even when the world was worse, did I to the wheel of life with shapes and colors rife, bound dizzily mistake my end to slake thy thirst. So take and use thy work, amend what flaws may lurk, what strain of the stuff, what warpings past the aim. My times be in thy hand, perfect the cup as planned. Let age approve of youth, and death complete the same. Not even when the world was worst. That's the part that sticks out for me, because we've known when our lives have been at their worst, whirl on the wheel and seem to be out of control and ready to collapse and fall apart. When God reaches out and takes the pot of our life and works it and recenters it and shapes it and brings it back together when the world was worst. Amen.